Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellefson. Thanks for joining me this morning. So when I prior to concluding the program yesterday, I said, whatever happens, we all have to unite around the common goal to beat our opponents, our real opponents, which are the far leftist Democrats that want to significantly, as they are doing it as I speak, transform this country, transform our state into something that no longer resembles America or American values. And I stand by that. And before I take your calls, and I have already said that this program this morning is going to be about, you are my guest this morning. So I see the phone lines are lit up. Please be patient. I will get to you. I will try to be as not long-winded as possible. But I do want to just start out by saying congratulations to those candidates, Republican, that is, candidates that won their primary races yesterday. Well done. And I say that, of course, I am very disappointed, as, you know, I can't imagine anyone doesn't know that my friend Rebecca Clayfish did not prevail in the primary. And as I was driving in this morning, and I think I said, too, yesterday, that my plan was, or at least sometime earlier this week, my plan was not to look at the election results until I got up this morning, which is indeed what I did. However, at about 8:45 last night, right before I went to bed, I started getting some texts from friends, and I just said, how's it going? And one of my friends, one of my very astute friends, said, it does not feel like a Rebecca win. And at that early time, just about 45 minutes after polls closed, that was unfortunately his prediction as they were watching returns come in. And, you know, I thought to myself as I was driving in, you know, obviously I'm very disappointed. I'm very sad. I'm sad for my friend Rebecca, and I'm sad that not more people don't know the person that I know, and that not more voters had the opportunity to see the person that I know, Rebecca Clayfish. And I congratulate her, and I am sad for her and her family today. I'm sure that they are beyond disappointed in the results. However, I will say this, and I think that as an adult, yep, I'm an adult, and as an adult, I see that these are the times that God prepares you for. And I mean, I have had my share of disappointment and defeat and sad circumstances over the course of my life. And I think that, in fact, ironically, well, perhaps not even ironically, but if you listen to the full show from 5 to 9 a.m., it's gold, I tell you. Tom and I were talking about this morning, and with not the election. He said, oh, I'm guessing you don't want to talk about it. And I said, you know, I think the part that I will say is that disappointments, previous disappointments in life prepare you for future disappointments. And I think that you can, in experiencing disappointment, you can also appreciate victory that much more. And I think that's the lesson in all of that. And I have to say that, you know, whatever happens I don't know, I don't want to just chalk it up to God's will, but I will say this, and this is, I've shared this, I believe, one other time on the program, is that one of my life verses is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And I've committed this to memory. I committed this to memory years ago, and it's provided a source of comfort to me. And perhaps if you are feeling sadness today too, because your candidate did not prevail, here goes. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are creating for us an eternal glory, which far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. So I give you those words of encouragement and optimism, because I am an optimist, and I do believe that we have, well, let's face it, we have a lot of work to do. And again, we want to focus on the opponent, the true opponent coming up in November, and that is Democrats. And we need to We need to unite around the common goal to defend our values and our way of life. So with that, I'm going to take your calls. Hopefully you didn't give up on me. 715-845-2155 if you'd like to join the conversation. I would love to hear whatever topic you would like to discuss, whether it was yesterday's primary results, Mar-a-Lago. There's all kinds of the IRS adding 87,000 new workers. We can kind of conclude that we know what that's about, but would like to hear your perspective. 715-845-2155. Good morning and welcome to Feedback. You're on with Meg.
Yes, good morning, Meg. Gianni calling from Montello.
Gianni, how are you?
Yes. Well, okay. Glad we got the rain over the weekend.
Oh,
we needed it.
Good. I'm glad you got
it. Soybeans and corn are looking much better.
Good.
Hey, voting yesterday. Now, I went and voted for my candidate, Rebecca Clayfish. I see she didn't win. But a couple of days ago, prior to yesterday, I heard an ad on your show from Wisconsin Club for Growth, and they were speaking highly disparagingly of Rebecca Clayfish. I think you probably heard the ad.
Yeah, I talked about it. Yes.
Where does this group? Where are they coming from? Where are they located? And who is financing them? Because this was probably one of the worst.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Well, I just
is
said
it
it's,
in...
no. They're based out of D.C., although they have chapters in many states, including Wisconsin. And I don't know if you, I did actually read a letter that was written by some of Club for Growth supporters and donors here that are donors here in Wisconsin, and I shared that. In fact, I believe, yeah, I did. I blogged about it as well, so you can go out to wsau.com. And it, I believe the title is something Wisconsin Business Leaders, and then I don't remember the rest of it, but it was a recent blog of mine, and the letter is included in its entirety. But it's an organization that ordinarily they are a conservative organization and they support conservatives, but they took sides in this primary, and they did a hit job on Rebecca Clayfish, and Well, I mean, I guess the prognosticator, this will be up to the prognosticators. I'm going to try to move forward from here, but I would guess that the prognosticators for some time to come will determine what it was in particular. Perhaps it was a culmination of a number of things that, that contributed to her loss and Michael's win. So it's unfortunate. I know that... I read an account of Trump's, some of his comments at the rally last Friday in Waukesha, and he actually cited some of the attacks that the Club for Growth made against the Clayfish family, and it's unfortunate.
It was horrible. It was one of the worst things I've ever heard about any political candidate, right or left. It was really, really... excoriating.
Disgusting. Is I guess what I have to say. I mean, you know, I think they accused her of being a communist and part of that. And you know, I wanted to try to not rehash this. I don't want this to be perceived as sour grapes today, because I am an optimist, and we do want to look forward to. And as I said in my opening comments, is that we really want to focus on the true opponent in all of this, and our opponents are ensuring that we can hire and elect those that are going to represent our values.
Well, I am left with a very bad taste in my mouth for this group.
Yeah, you and me as well. Yes, absolutely. Well, Gianni, thanks so much
for taking my call, Meg.
Absolutely, thank you
so
much.
Good work.
Thank you. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. 715-845-2155 if you'd like to join the conversation. Would love to hear your perspective on, on the news of the day. Obviously, primary results are on the forefront. If you'd like to call in, 715-845-2155. Good morning and welcome to Feedback.
Hi, Meg. This is Orlando from Wausau. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to comment on the Senate campaign in the 29th. You know, full disclosure, I was a volunteer for Corey Tomchik, but all three candidates were good candidates. They really were conservative, good people, and I think, I feel we'll be better represented by Corey, but it was a good group, and I wish some of the other campaigns were like that.
Yes, well, and congratulations. I mean, this is obviously we can be optimistic that because the 29th had three good candidates, we can be optimistic that we're going to have great representation in the 29th. So congratulations to Corey and his team.
Thank you.
For victory last night.
Well, we were up late, so to say the least. So I'm glad I could listen in today.
I don't have a lot of sympathy for you guys, though. So, you know, in light of how little sleep I get. So, no, I'm just teasing you. But go on.
I can understand. I was going to talk about, the local, our governor's race, our primary, and relate that to Mar-a-Lago. You played Jesse's tirade, on
yes.
the 5
mm-hmm.
earlier today. And I just think that this just took all the pro-Trump people and it just, it skyrocketed the Trump brand. I know some people that know Trump or whatever. And my guess is that, for him, this wasn't a primary decision. It wasn't a secondary decision. It was probably a tertiary decision, in his life and with things that go on. But, and I fully think that Clefish was the better candidate. But, I do think that this raid really affected it. I mean, it really, like you say, it has a chilling effect. I looked at a map yesterday when I was looking at Corey's campaign, and the people that were voting for Michaels were all people like in the North Woods, all these, people that were probably part Rantham, part Clefish, part, part Michaels. But they went, I think they turned Trump at the last minute because of this raid. So,
wow. Interesting.
It's, pure speculation on my part, but...
We can all be a prognosticator for a day or two, but yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at the 29th Senate results and just how that broke down depending on the counties, but I haven't
right.
had a chance to look at the gubernatorial race because, frankly, I saw the results and was quite obviously very, very disappointed when I woke up this morning. And
I thought that Rantham would take a much bigger chunk of, say, the very conservative or patriot vote, and that would be, that could help Clefish. But I think a lot of that vote just turned at the last minute. It was like pro-Trump. Whatever Trump wants to do, that's what we're going to do because this guy is a martyr now.
Well, how do you feel about that? Because that's an interesting point. And that's something that I observed yesterday and, wasting as much time as I did looking at social media comments, because really, frankly, it's just a bunch of opinions, and I'm the one with the mic, but I'm curious about, do you think that, the Rantham supporters I know are very outspoken and vocal about what they're passionate about their beliefs. Do you
right.
think that that Michaels took away from his support? I mean, I think
yes.
there are a lot of people that
yes.
I think believed that.
I'm
Rantham...
speculating, but yes, I think that a lot of Trump people are smarter than you think. And they were split up between Clefish and Rantham. That's as far as I know, all the Trump people that I know. It was very, very split up.
So
at the last minute, it just went to, Michaels because it was like a F you to everyone who's not pro-Trump, I think.
And do you think that, and, pardon the term I'm using, but do you think that whatever Trump says or whatever Trump, there are, the significant majority of those that are Trump supporters are willing to follow what Trump says and does blindly? I'm just curious.
I'm sure there's a very, very small minority, but I think that charge is much more relevant on the Democratic side. I mean, I think there's people that would do anything AOC says, uh-huh. that group is much bigger. And, just on another thing unrelated, the person who called, Gianni, who called in earlier, was asking about the Club for Growth. The Club for Growth was started by Steve Moore. It was a libertarian organization when it started.
That's right.
And I don't even know if he's on the board anymore, but it was a very libertarian, just pro economic thing. And I think they're at a little bit of odds with America First because of international trade. You know, libertarians don't want any argument with international trade. And, you know, that right now that's a cross current in conservative circles, you know, the libertarians versus America First in terms of trade and economics.
So do you think, I guess, what's your prediction for this upcoming general election? What's your prediction, I guess, in terms of whether or not the, you know, all these, this, I guess I'll call us all this ragtag group of Republicans, we can actually unite around the common goal to beat Tony Evers, to beat Mandela Barnes, to beat whomever, I don't even know the lieutenant governor candidate on their side, but and to beat Josh Call. Do you think we can put aside our differences and our egos and actually acquiesce around what really needs to be accomplished in this November election?
I think that's a great question, and I do believe we will. You know, in fact, one of the things that, like I said earlier about the, you know, Mar-a-Lago and tying it to the Clefish losing, is I was surprised to see how many pro-Trumpers were really split up among all three gubernatorial candidates.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
And it wasn't so one-sided like you think. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll all coalesce. You know, I've talked to you privately, and what we've said, hey, whoever wins on the Republican side, we're gonna vote for it. But, you know, I feel we have a duty to get to vet the best Republican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at, you know, you talk about Mar-a-Lago, and look at how serious that is.
Wow.
You know, that, you know,
it's horrifying.
The serious ramifications of being an authoritarian government.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watch people like Mitch McConnell and people like that. And Mitch McConnell's comment the other day was, "Well, I don't want to talk about Mar-a-Lago. We have tax issues to talk about," mm-hmm. or something.
Well, and then Kevin McCarthy threatening, and you know, I mean, beating his chest, threatening that they're going to conduct some investigations if they take over. And it's just like, wow, I'm sure the Democrats are shaking in their boots. You know,
well,
I mean, that's the frightening thing. Is there not?
And a lot of conservatives are afraid now. A lot of conservatives really think like, boy, you know, we really got to vet our Republicans. You know, that's really important. You know, we need people that are going to be disruptors. You know, if we don't have disruptors, then the left-wing march continues because, you know, we've had legislative majorities here. But yet, you know, why does everything seem to flow left?
Right. Well, and I think we need to, well, and I think that's the scary part about this, the message that's being sent with this Mar-a-Lago raid. It's really, it's not just about Trump as much as it is
right.
About
you're
those
right
that
on with that.
Him.
Trump's right on about
yeah.
that. This is,
it's frightening.
You know, one thing about authoritarian governments is they want you to know that there's two standards of justice. They're advertising
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting our way, and you will go down.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's a history of it. You know, you could read any kind of history on authoritarian governments, and that's the modus operandi.
Liberty be damned. Well, Orlando, thanks for calling in, and congrats again. All your hard work has paid off, and on to the general, and on to supporting our Republican candidates.
Absolutely. On to supporting Republican candidates.
Yep,
we got to now coalesce.
Yes, absolutely. Well, hey, have a great day. Thanks for calling in.
All right, bye-bye, Meg.
I'm going to go to a break, and I do not want to deter you from calling in, so please continue. When I go to the break, I'll be picking up your calls, and we'll get through this together. I'm going right into the 8:30 news after this break, followed by the second half of Feedback on WSAU 715-845-2155. Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. As much as I'd like to stay, I gotta go to another break. I know, fashionably late as always. 8:30 news is up next. However, I will be delighted to take your calls after the news. I've got a few people on hold. There are a couple lines still open, 715-845-2155. If you'd like to join the conversation, right after the break on WSAU Feedback.